Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Brian Matamore is here. Brian's a six-year member of our Brain Trust. Couldn't do without him. Founder and president of the Matamore Group. He is the co-founder and idea guy of Growth Engine Innovation Agency. He's the author of three outstanding, unbelievable, can't live without these books, 21 Days to a Big Idea, Idea Stormers, and 99% Inspiration. I'm pretty sure we helped him launch two, if not three of those. He's our good friend, Brian. Welcome back.
Well, thanks, Jim, and thanks for that hyperbole on the books. That's very nice. I appreciate
no
it.
No hyperbole. That's all facts. I'm a talk show host. I have no hyperbole. You know that. So I was telling the audience, Brian, that one of the things I've learned in the last 20, 30 years is that and I've learned this from you and from other Brain Trust members, the problem we have today is not change, it's the velocity of change. This is what's taking our breath away, not that change is happening, because that's been going on for thousands of years, but the time between models, the time between generations of models or strategies or whatever is being compressed because of technology. And that's what's taking our breath away. And so change is happening faster. And in order to not become roadkill, we can't just manage change. We have to lead change. And you've taught us that if you're going to lead change, you can't do that if you're not innovative. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's my whole life. That's what I've devoted all my time to in the last 30 years is really helping, you know, larger companies, but the stuff applies to smaller companies as well, is how to anticipate those changes, I think you led into the break there with sort of inventing your future versus sort of reacting to it. Mm-hmm. I've become an expert and shared all these ideation techniques to help people come up with ideas, but also, you know, strategies and programs for dealing with that. So disruptive wargaming and role-playing and all those kind of things. And so then we've come to see, you know, in our clients, a lot of established clients, they come to see, often see change as a tremendous threat because they have a lot to lose, less usually than the smaller guys, but maybe not. But we've worked with them to sort of, you know, get out of that negative mode and then try to be proactive about inventing what the future could be and then being a part of it. So we've switched from not being negative about it, but always thinking of this rapid change that you alluded to as opportunity. Because how else are you going to look at it, right?
Right. I mean, the thing is in any given day, this half hour I'm playing offense, next half hour I'm playing defense. And so innovation is both of those, isn't it? I mean, innovation, you're innovating because there's opportunity to be had, and yet you also have to say, yeah, but if I don't, you know, there are some people that I'm working with, I worked with over the years, and they've done some really visionary things, and I've helped them with it, whenever we've talked about it, I've said to them, you know, right now you're feeling pretty smart, pretty proud of yourself. You know, you're thinking, wow, we're way ahead of the curve here. I said, but in a couple of years, you're going to look back and say, wow, what if we hadn't done that?
Yep.
It's not, and you're not going to feel visionary. You're going to feel like, you know, I waited to the last minute to do it.
You're going to feel blind, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, that sort of play between offense and defense, the way we think of it is sort of proactive ideation and innovation versus sort of, you know, being more efficient about your business. And what's interesting is that, you can do both with ideation processes. So obviously you can use them to invent the future, come up with breakthrough ideas, new products and services. But people don't understand you can also use them to help make your business more profitable, more efficient,
right,
et cetera, et cetera. So,
Give us an example. One of the things that I think people worry about out here on Main Street, Brian, is what is being innovative look like? What does that mean? A lot of people, on Main Street, we kind of poor mouth ourselves. We are, I guess I'm doing okay when things are really going great, and I'm not very creative, blah, blah, blah. But we need to define it. Give us a concrete example of innovation, and then you've got some key principles we're going to talk about. We'll get into those real quick. Go ahead and give me an example of how to be innovative in a sort of a pedestrian way, a plain way.
Yeah, well, sort of a managing the business way, right? So we were asked by a large company to help them cut costs, right? So that's that's not a growth thing, that's an efficiency thing. And yeah. So we taught, we did 50 of these sessions around the country, and we had them use a mind map technique to sort of map their jobs, everybody that was in this session, and they mapped their jobs. And then they mapped their jobs, because people say, well, what do you do? Yeah, well, I make calls. But when you get them into the details of what they do, we had them map their jobs. And then we said, well, where are you not having fun? Where is it inefficient? Where do you think you're wasting money? And from that work, we saved this company like $50 million because there were huge idea efficiency, better ways to do things, even if it's just unlocking the bathroom door.
So basically, could you say that being innovative will come, it will happen, if you break down your activity and not be unconscious about your activity? If you're conscious, if you're aware of the steps of your activity, then opportunities for innovation will open up. Can you say that?
You absolutely can, and I really like the way you said that. I mean, because it's to your point. I mean, we are habitual beings, right? Because it helps us act in the world.
It's the reason why you and I can't edit our own writing, because we already know what it says, so we blow right over it. Somebody else says, "Did you realize you misspelled 10 words here?" We blow right up because we're not reading the words; we just see the words, and it's the same thing with our jobs.
Or they may say, "I don't know what you're talking about," right?
Yeah,
but
it's the same thing with our jobs.
Yeah, and so. It's in the details where it is. And one of the techniques that your listeners can use is questioning assumptions. They can, question the assumptions about how and where and why and when they're doing their business.
Right.
And I guarantee you those will give you different ideas, right?
Brian, I need your website, please.
Well, it's growth-engine.com.
Right. And can they find the books there?
Yeah, they can find the books there. Books, obviously, are on Amazon, et cetera.
Can they find your key innovation principles and practices there?
No, but I can email those to people. If they
all
want
right.
to send me an email, I'll be happy
right.
to email
Just
them to
be, do that. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of those innovation principles and practices, help you get off the dime on this. After the break, 20 after, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. Right back with Brian Mattermore.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.